Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
He knows nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome to ENN on a Wednesday evening, hump day, as it's known.
Yeah.
Or so we all hope.
Feels like Tuesday.
No, it's not. It's Wednesday, though. It's amazing. I'll start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael. Let's get him on the show.
I'd love to, but I don't know if he's a real big sports fan. But
who cares? Does it really matter?
No, it doesn't. You're on the show.
Too soon.
And then I'll say good evening to Don. I attended the same high school once attended by the Manning brothers.
Odell Beckham Jr.
I almost had it.
Odell Beckham Jr.
No, again, Peter, if we're ever going to be close, I will. You have to continue to do it that way. I want to embarrass me and my family to the point of
unrecognizable. Wow.
Odell Beckham Jr.
The gibberish, Michael, is truly special, isn't it?
I love it.
I almost had it.
So, a lot going on today, guys. Let's start with Woj, who was on Get Up, and he was asked about the next step for the NBA.
Adam Silver and the Players Association are drilling down this week into the details of what the structure is going to look like. How many regular season games, how many teams are going to be asked to return, and then what's the pathway to into the playoffs for those teams. There's a Board of Governors meeting on Friday afternoon, Greeny, and that's going to be an opportunity for the owners and Adam Silver to go through the details of a potential plan or move closer to finalizing a potential plan. And so, you know, I think there's some answers coming here by the end of the week for how an NBA return is going to look.
I think they're doing their due diligence, but I still don't believe that they know exactly how this is going to go. I still don't think that hockey knows exactly when it's going to go, because what did John Davidson say? It could be July, it could be August. They're not sure. They are really they're giving parameters of how it could work, but they're not giving definitive dates. They're just not. I think that's smart.
Because it's not up to them. Right, it's up to how it all ends up working out. They're allowed to have some skating because that's what's been cleared in certain cities, and then you got to move on from there. But they don't know. I'm wondering if the NBA is having some problems, Michael, and they've been able to keep it quiet,
which is the way to go about it. I think the problem is that players that don't have a playoff spot don't want to play. I don't blame them. I truly believe that they don't want to play. So they're trying to work something else out. So I think what they're trying to decide, do we go with an 18, a 16-team playoffs? Do we go to 20? Do we copy hockey and go to 24? One thing I don't want is for everybody to make it. That would be terrible. Then you've completely ripped the importance out of the first 60-some-odd games that you played.
Now, I still think that I think the NHL did the right thing. But there's some people that believe because the Rangers, the Canadians, and the Blackhawks were on the outside looking in that they were motivated to make it 24. If that had been the Panthers, the Blue Jackets, and the Coyotes, they would have been, let's keep it the way that it is. I don't know that to be a fact, but that's been speculated. What would the NBA lose? Like, did they want to try to include the Knicks because it's a major market?
No, like I think they're just worried about the money they lose from regional sports networks. And again, it can't be that much. So if you have to provide them 70 to get all the money, so you provided them 60 games. So the way I do math, that means you got 6/7 of the money.
But you got now, three. I'm just looking at the standing. Like Portland's 3.5 games out. I think there's a slew of teams that are like 3.5 games out with like 16 games to go. So that's doable, right? So I guess you want to include those teams.
Let's see.
But it would be that egregious, Peter, if they're not in?
Well, let's do it by conference. In the East, I mean, honestly, this is really funny. In the East, the drop-off to me after 8 is it's over. There's no one to include.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
It is a 5.5 game gap, and it drops down to the Washington Wizards, who are 24-40. That is not a playoff team.
They don't deserve to make the playoffs.
So in the West, though, Don, you have it's totally different. You have the Grizzlies at 32-33, but then you have the Blazers 3.5 back, the Pelicans 3.5 back, the Kings 3.5 back.
And you know they'd love to get Zion into the playoffs.
The Spurs 4 back, and then the Suns 6 back. Right. So it's like a vastly, and those are all teams, you know, fine, the Suns don't need to go, the Spurs are pretty iffy, but when you get up to the Kings at 28-36, and, you know, the Blazers at 29-37, these are at least teams that were playing close.
You know what you do? If you want to have more than 16, then just say the top 20 records in the NBA and seed them that way. Top 20 records. So because this way you eliminate the Flotsam and Jetsam in the East.
You get,
and that
they're
would
all
still
gone.
Get the, who's the number 8 team?
So it would work like this. If you were to do the top 20 teams, you would take the 8 from the East.
What's the 8th team?
Orlando's 30-35. And
okay.
I mean, by the way, though, you know, that does make them, that they are the 16th best team.
Right.
They're behind everyone in the West.
Okay.
But then in the West, if you go to the top 4 teams also in the West, you would get the Blazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, and the Spurs.
Yeah, put those 4 in. That's fine. Leave the Eastern teams out.
Now, the NBA is different than the NHL. The NHL is focused on teams and markets. The NBA is focused on players, right? So I don't know if they care about the Blazers and the Pelicans, but they really care about, I want a playoff that has Damian Lillard in it.
No, they care about the Pelicans. To get Zion in it? Oh, yeah, they would care about that.
No, that's what I mean. So what I'm saying is I don't think they care about the Portland and New Orleans market, but they want to get Zion and Lillard in.
Okay, yep.
I bet you if the Blazers and Pelicans were, like, in and we're talking about the Kings and the Spurs or the Kings and the Suns, they'd be like, oh, let's leave them out.
Well, no, I disagree with you here, Don. I think both the Blazers and the Spurs are teams that, from a team standpoint, you want in.
I don't know. Everybody complained about the Spurs. Nobody watched them. Nobody cared when they won championships.
I mean,
now all of a sudden we're going to care about a team that's 9 games under 500 getting a chance to win a championship.
But in markets where people are all going to be starved without sports, and I think you look at a traditional market like that, I'm sure people are missing their Spurs more than they're thinking about the fact that the Spurs weren't good this season. I mean, I'm just saying it's a historical franchise. Oh, also,
you
Don,
can say that about Golden State. And why not get Golden State in?
They're the worst team in the NBA, Don.
I understand, but it's a huge market with big stars.
But they're dead last. It's irrelevant. The team doesn't exist.
You know what I also think is, and we should really cover this more in depth tomorrow, but the Nets are going to make it. So let's say that this restarts in August. Why wouldn't Kevin Durant play? I don't understand it.
Well, I was thinking about this when we had JD on. And I asked Lou the same thing about, how long is training camp? Normally, you have a training camp to get you ready for an 82-game season, where, especially in the NBA, you're talking about load management. Have you ever seen a situation where you're going to go from 0 to 100? You're going to go from training for the first time in 4 months, a training camp, and then you're going to go right into the playoffs and the intensity?
I get it, but if he's 100%, he's 100%. Yeah, you don't just wait till the season starts next year. If you're 100% now, I'm sorry, play. They're paying you money.
Yeah, I understand. No, listen, I get that aspect of it, but Peter, don't you understand? Do you want a guy that hasn't played, also had the virus, and now the first time you're going to go on a court is in a playoff?
Yeah, I want Kevin Durant.
I know you want,
but you want to win? They have a chance to upset people. If he and Kyrie play, that all of a sudden they're one of the favorites.
I mean, with those two teams, they do jump to like a top 4 team.
But you have to respect going from 0 to 1,000 almost. Well, you're going to training camp, and then the intensity of the playoffs?
Well, I want to bring something up here, Don, that I was mentioned to me by Andrew, and I discussed it during commercial, and I received a tweet about it. It may be better for in-depth, perhaps, tomorrow if there's a discussion here. You have now, on multiple days, expressed the idea about basketball catching up with baseball. Do you just mean in terms of regional sports? Because in any other, to me, in any other metric, basketball has long surpassed baseball.
I just think when you just
look
talk,
at ratings for their events,
so
do
you
I don't
just
believe
mean
you.
So locally?
No, basketball has not surpassed baseball in terms of World Series against finals.
So are you just going finals to finals?
And locally, baseball, I mean, look at the Knicks are a very popular team. Baseball destroys them.
So that's what I'm saying, is the only metric you're using, local TV. Because by any other normal
and
metric.
And national TV, too.
In the finals.
Here's the thing. I think that's why I said in some portions of the country, certainly not in New York, because it's the Yankees, right?
Right.
Although you could argue if the Knicks were good and the Yankees were lousy, I'm sure the Knicks would do much better ratings. But for the most part, baseball's more popular than basketball, I think, in New York. But you can't say
can we even truly gauge that with how bad the Knicks have been? Like, do we even know? Imagine if for the next 4 years, the Knicks were winning 55 to 60 games a year and were just going deep in the playoffs every year. Do we really know the Yankees would be that much more popular?
Here's what we need to do. Because I know the one big edge, when the Cubs played the Indians in the World Series, the numbers were unbelievable. Because it's the Cubs trying to win a World Series for the first time since 1908. But for the most part, I think over the last 10 years, NBA Finals, World Series have been very comparable, numbers-wise. If you throw the Saturday night game of the week on ABC, I'm sure crushes Sunday Night Baseball.
Crushes.
Now, that's one's on ABC and one's on ESPN, but let's be honest. If baseball had a Saturday night Dodgers-Yankees game, and I'm sure that would not do anywhere close to the NBA on a Saturday night. So I think from a relevancy standpoint, from big-name players, I mean, is there anybody in baseball that can touch LeBron James? Anybody, and even close?
I don't think there's I honestly, you're going to laugh. I don't think there's anybody in football that can touch LeBron James.
No, not well, Brady can.
Brady
no,
can.
I think LeBron's bigger.
No, but I'm saying at least with Brady, you can have a conversation. To Don's point, in baseball, post Derek Jeter, can you even have a conversation? Certainly can't about Trout.
No one's close to LeBron. Again, it harkens back to what we were talking about, this adversarial relationship between owners and players. They're always fighting rather than making nice. Let's make this guy a bigger star than he is. I give the Yankees credit. They went up completely against what they're about by putting up the judges' chambers. They said, let's make this guy even more of a star. And you know what? He's the most popular player on the Yankees. So it shows that you market a guy and he has to be good. Then it cuts through all the nonsense. It really does.
Although I would argue, and you could argue, Michael, that while Judge has been great, the marketing was effective. Because in some ways, from an availability standpoint and whatnot, he has been disappointing. And yet his popularity has not waned at all.
No, he's probably the most popular player in baseball, even more than Trout.
Exactly. And he's playing, 100 games a year the last couple years.
Right. And so, that's why the Yankees went against what baseball team, the judges' chamber, whether it's effective or not, is antithetical to anything the Yankees have ever done. They never did that about Jeter, about any of their players. And they did it for him because they got it. This is a new era. You have to promote players.
But even promoting it, it's still so hard because it's apples and oranges. LeBron plays most of the game. A baseball player gets 4 at-bats, catch what's hit to him. So they're different sports. I get it. But at least it's in the conversation, and I think if baseball were to pause an entire season over money, I think the NBA clearly would overtake it. But maybe we can do the work tomorrow and look at the different things, the all-star ratings, national television stuff. I bet you the NBA probably does better. And what's worth more from a financial standpoint? Now, that's unfair, too, because baseball plays so many games and their regional packages are so lucrative. Because of the number of games they play, I'm not even sure you can use that as the gold standard or what's more popular. I just think from a pop culture relevancy standpoint, it just seems like the NBA stands out over Major League Baseball.
Well, I just received a text from Trey Wingo.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He just wrote me, "You're a gem. Don't ever forget it."
Wow. So it's not relevant to the conversation. It's just in general. I thought he was going to contribute to the show.
I think he's just weighing in with the feelings he was concerned about me having earlier.
That's a problem.
Thank you.
It took him 2 hours to come to that tweet. Wow, important.
No, text, Michael. It was personal.
It was text.
But imagine, Don, so he got off the air at 4:20. It took him 2 hours to come up with "You're a gem." He's real Shakespeare.
I look at it the opposite. He's been sitting around thinking about it, and it made an impact on him. Now, back to the NBA. The NBA and the Players Union are progressing on a plan that would allow for a limited number of family members to also join the players inside an Orlando bubble environment. So,
some players are probably going, no, we're good.
Exactly. Conversations have centered on the timing of family arrivals at the Walt Disney Resort, which is likely to start once an initial wave of teams are eliminated and the number of people within the league's bubble decreases, according to sources. Family members would be subjected to the same safety and testing protocols as everyone else in the NBA's biosphere, according to sources.
Now, did you see the news that does affect that biosphere? Disney World's opening up for business July 11th.
I don't think it matters.
Well, it does matter. All of a sudden, you're going to be the only people in the park, in the hotel. Now you're not.
I don't think that was ever on the table. They've been talking about opening Disney now for weeks, so they must know that the two could work together.
Well, they would have to take control of a couple of hotels that Disney would...
The place is massive. There's three arenas that they can play in, I think. They can make that work.
No, they'll make it work, but it's certainly not a bubble anymore.
But I'm
shocked by that. Michael, I did not realize that at all.
Yeah, they announced it today.
How is that a bubble?
It's not a bubble at all.
But I think Disney opening was a fait accompli. If Disney opening was going to be something that was going to stop it from happening, then Disney would never have been on the table.
I would agree with you, because Vegas is one of the hubs, I guess, for hockey, and Vegas is opening on Friday. Now, the maximum of three people at a table.
I'm a company guy, so let me toe the line carefully here. I'm surprised amusement parks are going to open that soon.
I wonder if they'll open full bore, or I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
Like a very limited
Disney
capacity.
World, right? Or all of them. Disneyland, too? Because remember, Disney World's in Florida.
Well, Disneyland, they say, will be easier because that's a transient thing. People don't go there and stay there. They drive there. But Disney World, I mean, you're staying there. So I think Magic Kingdom, one of the studios is opening. They're opening up parts of it, as far as I know.
Well, I mean, Florida's open for business, and they're in Florida.
Tell you what, man, it's going to be an interesting next. And I'm not just saying that in the sense of, like, I'm sure how it's going to go, and I'm looking forward to being right. I truly don't know what's going to happen. It's really going to be a very interesting and slightly scary couple of months.
Let's do the math here. The numbers are going down in New York and New Jersey. Here in New Jersey, the numbers have gone down, you know, as far as the deaths and all that. There's still, you know, two... You know, when you talk about, you know, triple digits, it's still uncomfortable. But it's not in the range of, you know, where it's 700,
wait, it's still triple
800
digits in New Jersey?
And New Jersey had, I think it was 146 today.
Wow.
Yeah, but there was a time where there was 800 a day. You know, so the numbers have gone down. But, you know, we're heading on 3 weeks since the parks opened and the golf courses have opened. And we haven't seen a spike yet, so... Cuomo talked about just slowly turning the valve each day a little bit more, you know, and then you extrapolate it out 2 weeks. Has it spiked? I mean, I guess Long Island's supposed to be opening today, or is supposed to open today.
Well, Frank Pallotta, who covers all things Disney, wrote that they plan to begin a phased reopening on July 11th for the Magic Kingdom parks and July 15th for Epcot and Hollywood Studios.
It's pretty amazing, though. Like, there were 73, I believe, deaths in New York State yesterday. right? Which does seem like a really, you know, a vast improvement for where we were a while ago. However, let me just do some basic math here. If I was to tell you that there was an illness going on that was spreadable, it's not, we're not talking about cancer, we're talking about something that's spreadable from people communicating, that was going to kill 26,000 people in the state of New York over the course of the year, you would consider that problematic.
Yeah, of course.
Now that's what we're at. That's the pace you'd be on if it continued to be 73 people a day.
Here's the measures that they're going to undertake, Peter and Don. Employees and guests will be required to wear face coverings and undergo temperature screenings before entering the parks. Disney will reduce capacity at the parks, and the resort will temporarily suspend parades, fireworks, and other events that create crowds. The resort will enable cashless transactions by expanding contactless payments, and Disney will also increase the number of available hand sanitizing stations. By the way, that's one of the things that's going to happen from this. Money is going to be history.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Nobody is going to handle money anymore.
Oh, that's a great point I didn't even think about. And by the way, I'm reading that, like, that seems to be one of the overstated things about coronavirus. The spread of touching things.
Right.
So it's all air. Right. Everyone thinks it's air. We're going to get obsessed with touching, but it's not really about that.
And I was talking to somebody today that said the reason we got overwhelmed is we were not prepared. A lot of people got sick because it was, you know, pre-mask and social distancing. Since we've been wearing masks and social distancing, it has worked. It has calmed it down to where it's been manageable. You know, the hospital that I was born in, Valley Hospital, had like 500 patients with COVID. Now it's down to 12. So I think we will open slowly. But as far as wearing masks and social distancing, I think that's going to be something. I wouldn't be surprised if that's just something that for the foreseeable future until there's a vaccine that we're just going to have to live with. That's going to be the price of doing business. That's why fans in a building, to me, I can't even wrap my mind around that in the calendar year of 2020.
But I will say this, and you always disagree with me. If they opened up MetLife Stadium, would it have 70,000 people? I'm not sure. There'd be a whole heck of a lot of people that would go.
I could see outdoor sports opening with half capacity.
But you have to understand, don't look at the Ozarks, okay, and see all those people in a pool together, or Florida on a beach with a bunch of people conjugating together, and compare it to being in a building. Like, if long as you're outside, you can kind of veer away from people. How are you sitting next, literally touching the person, a stranger next to you in a ballpark?
No, you would need multiple seats.
But I think there are people out there that would do it. I really believe it. I think sometimes we overthink that people are smarter than we think they are. People would do it. If we open up the phone lines, people, I'm going. I'm telling you, they would do it. If they had to sit on somebody's lap, they'd do it.
Well, I don't doubt there are people that claim they would do it, you know, but don't compare it. What do we have to compare it to? Outside's a different feel, but to just, you know what it's like to be.
But
how
outside
long it takes,
is MetLife is outlight. I mean, you did
no,
see
I'm
the Ozark.
I'm talking about to where I could just decide to get up and walk away, or I can veer around people. You know, some of these pictures, you know, the way they're shot looks like they're on top of each other. But sometimes you take a look, and yeah, they are a fair distance away from each other. But in a ballpark, you know how long sometimes, Michael, it takes to just get out of your aisle and go up the stairs after the game is over?
I get it.
People are right on top of each other.
People would still come.
I do think people would still go. But first of all, will they even be given the opportunity to go?
Probably not, because I don't think people want the responsibility, or and we live in a very litigious society.
It's going to be interesting, guys. It's going to be a very, very interesting time. Charles Barkley, let's hear from the Chuckster on what he thinks is going to happen with the NBA season.
Talking to my bosses at Turner, we're going to play basketball. It's either going to be in Florida and Vegas or just Florida. And they say 2 to 3 months. So normally I get 2 or 3 months vacation during the summer. That is going to be gone. But like I say, I'm glad we're going to have sports back, but it's a scary thing, Paul.
Paul Feinbaum Show, of course. There's Chuckster on that.
Did you? I mean, I hate to say this because, you know, I'm certainly no string bean, but Chuck really put on some weight. I mean, it, like, scary. when if you saw him at the golf tournament. And then the commercials with Samuel Jackson. Scary.
It's a tough time.
I mean, you worry about somebody's health when they're that big. I mean, this is a former athlete. He's gotten enormous.
Well, he has a lot of fluctuation. Always has.
Did he have the virus or did he test and test negative?
No, he didn't have.
He was
sick. Shut down for a while. Okay,
but he was sick and he tested negative.
Okay.
Tom Brady posted on social media one thought he had from the match last weekend. Was that, quote, I shouldn't wear the same pants to golf that I wear to church. By the way, that's when you know you're really rich.
I'll tell you why.
When you're rich,
I know
you
don't agree with
him.
Yeah. He's likable.
He was very likable. You said it yesterday and you were right. And it's interesting because Phil Mickelson says he would like the match to be an annual event. And you could showcase other guys, he says, like Steph Curry and Michael Jordan, Tony Romo and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, Michael, I kept thinking about what you said. The only person I really wouldn't want to see back is Tiger. But I guess you need Tiger for the TV part.
Yep.
Like people will tune in to watch
eyeballs.
Him play.
He brings eyeballs, but he did not take part. He did not take part in the reindeer games. He was playing golf.
Now, maybe he was annoyed. The rain and everything just made it less fun for him, and he wasn't into it. Who knows? But, yeah, Tiger wasn't a barrel of laughs.
But those events are made to just have some personality.
Exactly. That's the point. By the way,
I guess Rory McIlroy would be somebody I could bring eyeballs to.
Yeah.
Or John Daly. Would be a blast.
John Daly would be a lot of fun. It's true. You don't actually need Tiger if the other athletes are great.
Right.
Because to be honest, I wasn't really watching to see how great Tiger would play. Like, I'm not there to see Tiger win a tournament.
Now, I'm not a golf fan, Peter, but I thought Peyton Manning was a great golfer. I mean, I look at that guy and say, wow, if he really put his mind to it, I bet you he'd be an outstanding golfer.
Oh, I mean, and even Brady, for as bad as he was, can hit the ball. I mean, but Peyton's very good. And I'll tell you what, Justin Thomas was entertaining. There are other golfers that could be entertaining. But again, I don't know if the main reason people tuned in was to see Tiger or simply because there's nothing else going on and you have four big names. I'm not sure.
But I think you have to have something, Peter, because we just think that anything you slap on now, if you look at the ratings for the Lance Armstrong documentary, pathetic.
Really?
So you can't just put anything on. You got to put something that's – Lance Armstrong's not likable. Whatever you want to say about him, he's not a likable guy. I think they got under a million people.
Wow.
And with a lot of promotion.
And a lot of momentum.
Yep.
Of course. You know, we saw with the horse, you know, you just can't just throw anything on your right. It's got to be well done. And the problem, well, at least just personally for me, why I have not really been into the Lance Armstrong, I don't find him likable. And from what I understand is that your mind's not going to change.
Well, no. But hold on. Some people might not find Jordan likable, but guess what? No one cares about watching cycling either.
Right.
So you're talking about an athlete that no one watched.
No, but that's the point. Thank you, Peter, because you just articulated it perfectly. I don't care about the Tour de France. I don't care about cycling.
No.
He made it watchable. You found out it was bogus, and now it's over.
Right. He was the person that you'd heard of. And by the way, in his prime, never watched the Tour de France. Never. Sorry. The Knicks will start their head coaching search very soon.
I love this story. Tell people.
At the top of the list, Thomas Thibodeau. He is reportedly at the top of the Knicks list of candidates for head coach. I know you've been a fan, Michael.
No. That's not the one I thought you were going to say.
Me and Michael are on the same page.
Kenny Atkinson is at the top of the list along with
that's
Thibodeau.
That's the guy.
And I think that the Nets did him wrong. I think that he got caught up by their star. Oh, yeah.
Are you sure that he's the guy, though?
You know why? Because that's a young team, and he is great with a young team. Look what he did with the Nets. He made them relevant enough to get Durant and Irving, and then Durant and Irving, I guess, didn't love him that much.
Now, listen, I love the idea of Atkinson as a head coach for the Knicks. I completely agree that from a roster standpoint, he's the kind of guy that you like. I just wonder, the media seemed to love him. The players have become it seemed to have become a mixed bag more than we thought at first.
Well, maybe you learn. You know, maybe the things that might have annoyed players, maybe in a second try, he'll, you know, He'll become a better coach.
But you're right. If you have a team that's not stacked with talent that you want to get the most out of, Kenny Atkinson is someone that you can look at his body of work and say, we've seen him do this.
Right, because and he can develop players.
All the Knicks want to get to is being a perennial 7-8 seed. That's all they're trying to get to right now.
You need somebody to come in and develop R.J. Barrett. You need somebody to come in and develop Kevin Knox. Get the most out of Ntilikina. That's what this guy does.
Think about how great it would be for the Knicks if the same thing happened to them that happened to the Nets. You signed two of the best players in the NBA and they don't want to play for them. That'd be a nice problem to have.
And I'll tell you what, who's the guy who made Linsanity?
Kenny Atkinson, that's right. That'll do it for ENN on this Wednesday. Wow. Even got Michael applause? Very big. You must feel guilty about yesterday.
No, not a bit.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.